you know what? I text Brother Joe, because I don't think we were done with one of them songs in praise and worship. I know we had to move on with the program says, but that last song, I love Jesus. I worship him. I don't think we were done with that. Come on.
Just want to tell.
Come on, somebody want to tell him that you love him more than.
I love.
Come on, more than anything.
More than anything.
Come on, as you reflect back on your life and how he's been good to you, just tell him, God, I love you, Jesus. Everybody say,
I love Jesus.
Come on, we're here to worship and adore you, God.
Worship.
Come on, I just want to tell you, God. Come on, that I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say that one more time. Everybody. Come on. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I love you.
Love you because you first loved us. God, you loved us. It's a mystery to me how you can love somebody as jacked up as I am. And I thank you, Lord God, that you love me not because I performed good, not because I did something that was deserving of your love. You love me because you created me to love me. We thank you for your grace, for your unmerited favor. We thank you for your mercy from withholding your wrath from us. We thank you that you're patient and that you're long-suffering. Your word says you're so patient that you're not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Thank you that you run after us, that you continue to draw us. Thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy that's new every single day. God, because I know I need it. I know we needed it today. God, I just thank you for providing for us, putting food on our table, clothes on our backs. We thank you, Lord God, because you've just been good. We even thank you this morning for the trials that you bring into our lives. God, for the hard times that you bring to us that teach us to lean on you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, it's a strange prayer, but I pray, God, that if you need to bring more trials to teach us to trust you, that you bring them, God. Do whatever you need to do, God, to draw us closer to your side. We love you. We honor you. We thank you. And this morning, God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege to go boldly before your throne to lay our requests there. Speak to our hearts. We pray, God, as the word comes forth, that you speak, not me, that you speak. And I pray, God, as a result, that we are transformed, that we are changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome all of our guests here as well. If you're a guest at Washington Christian Center, we are so glad that you came. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? Amen. Amen. Wherever you're sitting, there should be a card that looks like this. If you're a guest, we're going to be later on in the service. We're going to give you an opportunity to fill it out. If you want to kind of cheat and fill it out this morning while I'm talking, you can. But if you're a guest here, we want to know what your name is and where you're from. If you can indicate your contact information so we can connect with you. And later on in the service, as we go on the back, there's an area that says, what's next? If God has spoken to your heart in any way, we want to hear that too. And also a place for you to put your prayer request. So later on in the service, we're going to give an opportunity as before we end for everyone to fill those out, and we'll collect them during our offering time. Just wanted to draw your attention to that. And also, guests, before you leave, don't forget we have a special gift for you. So I know Sister Pat Smith, usually at our table out front, has gifts for all of our guests. So we want to make sure that you get your gift and we connect with you. Amen? Today, we are honoring our breast cancer survivors and those who have also, who have lost the battle on this side but won the ultimate battle. Amen? And those who are in the midst of the battle right now. So that's why some of us got on pink, and I thank Sister Barbara Goodall for the shirts that you see some of the brothers have, Brothers Against Breast Cancer. We just want to honor those this morning. We have some women in our church who are some soldiers, amen, who have battled and are in the midst of the battle, and we just want to applaud them and honor them this morning. Can we give all of our breast cancer survivors and those who are in the midst of the battle a round of applause right now? And we want to honor all, though we're here to honor and remember those who fought a good fight. But we're so thankful that, listen, that song said, the last verse of that last song says, but that's not how the story ends. In 3 days, Jesus rose again. And because he lives and he rose, those, we know, I think of my aunt, Sister Mary, an artist who has, I know, was a soldier for the king. I think of Mama Doris and all of these others who have gone on who are soldier for the king. But guess what? They are not here today, but we're going to see them on the other side. And we honor them. We honor all of those who are battling right now. Amen? Amen. God is an awesome God. Also, before I get started, I want to take on time to honor the First Lady Emeritus of this house. Amen? My mother is here today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you all did not recognize it, she had major surgery about two weeks and some change. 2 weeks ago, she had an anterior cervical decompression. They removed like 3 discs and vertebral bodies out of her neck and put metal in there. That's major, y'all. They had to go in through the front of her neck. There's vital organs there. And I remember on that day when the surgeon was explaining what was happening, what had to happen, and I could see the like fear in her eyes because she was good. But then he started to explain where he had to go through. And when after the surgery, he said she came through like a champ. She had her post-op visit this week, and he said she can go to church. She's good. She can go out. Just put her brace on, and we praise God that she is here this morning. Amen. 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 I'm going to read a card from her. Before we close, I have a card I'm going to read from her that she has given to the body. Amen. This morning, we are continuing our series called Glory Days. Glory Days. And what we're going to do, we're going to start. If you have the book and have been enjoying the book, could you, by a round of applause, could you clap your hand? Amen. Amen. I'm glad y'all got it. Listen, let me tell you, if you do not have it, it's still not too late. If you don't like to read, go on Audible, get the audio book, like I said. But what you can also do is open your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua and begin to read the book of Joshua. And that's what we're going through, the book of Joshua. And we've been talking about glory days, living our promised land life now. And with this book, there's a glory days declaration. The book is by Max Lucado. And the glory days declaration is up on the screen. And I want us to say it together. Amen. We're going to say this together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. These days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. And the present is, and God's promises are true. And his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be, do all he wants me to do, and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. You got to believe that. Amen. Amen. We talked about inheriting our inheritance. As a child of God, he has an inheritance for us. And our inheritance is the same as that of Jesus Christ. And we talked about these days being glory days. And we talked about inheriting our inheritance. We talked about the promises of God and how God's promises are precious and they're remarkable. They have an obligation attached and they've been made possible by Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. God's promises, they don't change. They're immutable. And God's promises have a way of sanctifying us and helping us walk like we should. And they encourage us in our walk. God has wonderful promises that he has given to us that we need to go to in the word. And what we found out that when we started this series, there was a research study by Reveal that stated that 89% of professed Christians say that they are not experiencing abundant life, that they believe that they're living beneath what they really should be experiencing as a Christian. In essence, that 89% of Christians are not living in the promised land, even though the promised land is ours. God said in his word, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's fulfilling. I mean, a life to the full. That's what his desire is for us. And the question is, if that's what God wants for us, then why aren't more Christians experiencing it? And that we've been looking at the book of Joshua to glean some lessons for us so that we can begin to walk in the promised land and have promised land living and get out of the wilderness. Amen? So last week, we looked at walking of circles around Jericho. We talked about the walls of Jericho. When the children of Israel came over and they entered into the promised land, their first thing that they faced was a huge obstacle, which was the city of Jericho. And Jericho had these huge walls around it. We showed the picture of the walls last week and how there was one. The walls essentially were almost 50 feet above ground, all right? And they had to face these walls. And God gave them a command that you're going to bring down the walls by some unconventional means. He told them, if you want to bring down these walls, I want you, Joshua. He told Joshua, the leader of the people, to get all your soldiers, get the priests, take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's presence, and I want you to begin to walk around that wall. And what we saw last week is how God brought down the wall God brought down the wall by himself, which means that for you and I, all of us face some walls in our life. That wall represents anything that's keeping you from experiencing that abundant life God wants for you. Whatever it is, it could be an attitude, it could be an addiction, it could be whatever it is. I don't know what that wall, that insurmountable thing that seems like it's too big for you to get through, that God says, listen, if you trust me, if you fight from victory, not for victory, if you're willing to listen to my plans and follow my battle plans, if you're willing to lift me up in praise and let me have all the spoils, then the walls will fall down. So what God is telling you this morning is that the key to him bringing down the walls is you trusting him and walk and listen, doing what he asked you to do, completely, totally dependent upon him. We learned that from Joshua chapter 6. And this morning we're praying, our lesson that we're coming is praying audacious prayers. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 9 and Joshua chapter 10. Joshua 9 and 10. And what happened here is, as we look, and we're not going to read both chapters. We're going to take excerpts from each one. But just to kind of give you a little background, well, what happened is Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Y'all remember that old song? They fought the battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. And listen, now the word has spread, even before this, the word has spread about Israel to all of the people, these Amorites that are living in this land that God had promised them. We learned last week that as Joshua and the people got to Jericho, it said that the people inside were already afraid because they had heard of what God had done. He had heard of what he did in the wilderness. He had heard how he brought them out of Egypt, divided the Red Sea. They heard all about this and they were scared. Now, can you imagine what the rest of the people in the land are feeling like after these people walk around a wall six days straight? And on day seven, they walk around seven times, blow a horn, shout, and walls came tumbling down. They wiped out everything. Can you imagine what the people in the area were feeling about these Israelites now? They were probably scared to death. And what happened is God had given Israel the instructions in the word. He told them, when you get into the land, I want you to wipe out everybody. I don't want you to keep on anything, because he knew his people. He knew if you hold on to some stuff, those people might turn your heart away from me. So I want you to start with a clean slate. I want you to wipe out everybody. And listen, the people in the land, this is the thing what you got to know. Sometimes the world knows what God tells us. And they're looking for us to follow what we say we believe. See, the people out there, the Amorites, the pagans, they knew what God said. They knew that God had instructed Moses and the people, when you get to the land, wipe out everything. So they knew it. So they were in fear. This is what I'm here to tell you. Sometimes we got to be in the walk. When we begin to walk in what God said, do you know sometimes the world is looking for us to follow what we say we believe? They're looking for us to follow what we say we believe. And when we stand up to and do what God says we're supposed to do, you know what a powerful witness that is. So this is how scared some of the people in the land were. There was a group of people there called the Gibeonites. If you look in Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 9. And these people, the Gibeonites, were scared to death. And if we can look at Joshua chapter 9, I'm going to look at the first couple of verses of Joshua chapter 9. And it says, now all the kings west of the Jordan River heard about what had happened. These were the kings of the Hittites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, who lived in the hill country in the western foothills and along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far north as Lebanon, the Lebanon Mountains. These kings combined their armies to fight as one against Joshua and the Israelites. But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done at Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn-out patched sandals and ragged clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, we have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us. So what these people of Gibeon did, they knew what God had commanded Joshua and the children of Israel to do, that anybody in that area you got to wipe out. So they were so scared. So let's fake them out. Let's tell them we ain't from around here. So what they did, they dressed up like they had traveled for miles and miles and miles around. And they came, when they got to Joshua and the Israelites, they had molded bread, they had all these tattered sacks, they had beat up clothes, and they just looked like they had come from somewhere else. And they came to Joshua and the children of Israel and said, listen, we done traveled a far way. We want you to make a treaty with us. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want Joshua and them to wipe them out. But this is the deal. This is why we're talking about praying audacious prayers this morning. Our lesson is praying audacious prayers. I want you to look at what happened to Joshua and the children of Israel. See, these people asked them, will you make a treaty with us? And what Joshua should have done at that time is ask God what he should do. But he didn't do that. He went with the eye test. Look like it's the truth. So it doesn't make, see, I don't think I need God for this one. This looks like it makes sense. They're not from around here. So he followed his eyes. And how many know whenever you follow your eyes and not follow what God said, not listen to his voice, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. See, what happened is these people use deception. And do you all know that the devil uses deception to get us off track? The Gibeonites tried to deceive Joshua. And what happened is, I want to show you, let's go down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. They did not consult the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety, and the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. This is the problem. Oh, thank you, sir. This is the problem. When you don't consult God, you get yourself in trouble. This morning, I got something very simple. It's only 2 points that I want to, it's two lessons from prayer that we're going to look at this morning. Two lessons from prayer. Number one, lesson number one, consult God in everything. Consult God in everything. There is nothing too small for you to consult God with. See, Joshua should have learned this lesson because in the chapters of 7 and 8, if we look at 7 and 8, what happened? Joshua went to go out and fight a community. He went to go fight the city of Ai, and he didn't consult God. He said, the city is small, we're bigger than them, so we don't need to consult God. We just go in. We just wiped out Jericho. So let us go in and wipe these people out. And he got his butt beat. And Joshua fell before the Lord. And God, how did you let this happen? And God told Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. See, if you had come and got on your face before me and consulted me first, I would have told you, no, this is not a good idea. There's some stuff you got to clean up before you go in there. And the lesson for you and I today is that you and I need to begin to consult God in everything. My question is, do you consult God with even the small decisions in your life? Do you consult God with the small decisions in your life? I'm here to confess that sometimes I don't do that. Sometimes there are certain things that I think, okay, I can handle. You know, I can do this. I mean, it's even, Lord, which route should I take to work this morning? You know, just the small things. Lord, how do I raise these children? Lord God, be with me as I'm going on my job. How can I be a light and a witness for you right here on my job, doing my everyday routine? Consult God in the things that you're used to doing by rote memory. That's what God is calling us to do. Joshua got in trouble because these people came and used deception, and that's exactly what Satan wants to do, deceive you. He wants to deceive you. Philippians chapter 4, if you look in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about some things. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You got to pray about everything, y'all. When I was preparing for this, that's so convicting because I can tell you there are certain things that you, when you become skilled at doing something, sometimes you can kind of rely on your own ability. as a pastor and a person, I believe that God has given me a gift to speak. This is my passion. This is what I could do this all day. I love talking to people. I love speaking his word. And when you've done something for a long time, listen, y'all know I love to use acronyms. Sometimes God gives me acronyms off the top of my head. And then sometimes, you know what you can get in the habit of doing on a Sunday morning when you got a Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? I told my father one day, man, Sunday comes quick. You preach today and next thing you know is Wednesday. You gotta, are you ready for the next sermon? And what you can get in the habit of doing is preparing using your skills without depending on God. And God is telling me and he's telling you, don't get it twisted. I gave you the gift. What you need to do is everything. Recognize, God, I'm totally dependent upon you. Like this morning, listen, you're rushing to get out. And I told God, God, I don't want to say anything. I want you to speak. Stand in my body and you speak. No matter what I prepare, you speak. Do you consult God on the small things in your life? The devil will deceive you. He deceives you into thinking that you don't need to. Consult God in everything. In order for you to consult God in everything, number one, I said it, you got to beware of Satan's deceitful schemes. You got to beware of his deceitful schemes. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15 says, but I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment that their wicked deeds deserve. Do y'all know Satan shows up in church? Y'all heard me? Satan shows up in church. He said he disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. There are people disguised in the church. They're disguised. They look like they're servants of righteousness, but they're agent of the enemy. And if you begin, that's why in last week we were talking about the weapons that we fight with are not human weapons. You got to fight with spiritual weapons. And the first spiritual weapon we have is prayer. When you begin to go and seek God, he will speak to you. He will give you direction, but that you will not get when you get just moving and doing it on your own. Can you imagine the amount of headache and the amount of heartache that Israel could have spared themselves if they had just said, let's seek God first? All of those people that got wiped out at Ai wouldn't have gotten wiped out. And they wouldn't have put themselves in a position where they did here in Joshua chapter 9, where they made a treaty with somebody God told them not to get connected with. You got to beware of Satan's deceitful schemes. But the next thing that you must do when you consult God in everything, when you consult him in everything, you must go to him boldly. You must go boldly to God in prayer. Listen, I was reading a story about a woman, and she was talking about her struggle to have, she and her husband struggled to have a child. They tried all kind of stuff to have a baby, and it didn't work. I mean, and I can empathize as I was reading. Many of you know Tracy and I, we tried for a long time. But this lady, she tried everything. She tried IVF. She tried all kind of stuff. And then what happened is one of her friends came to her and said, listen, the Lord told me that you need to begin to pray that God would get glory out of your situation. Not just pray for the child, pray that God will get glory out of the situation. And her friends, church members, began to pray. And one little girl came up to her and was praying that God will give her a baby, that someone will give her a baby, even if they came and brought her a baby off the street. So she and her husband were praying. People were praying. And then at one point, what happened is the woman began to show signs of menopause. And when the menopause signs started coming, her husband stopped praying. Because he said, he was a scientist. And as a scientist, he said, listen, I have never seen something like this. I've never seen the laws of science be defied by something. So he figured when the menopause kicked in, that God was saying, no, it's over. But she didn't stop praying. Other people didn't stop praying. And see, that's why I said you go boldly before the throne. Because he's given us access. She never stopped praying. And what happened is she went to her doctor and said, listen, I want you to, she wanted to take a pregnancy test. And the doctor said, listen, he didn't even want to do it. Because he said, now you're not accepting reality. It's over. This cannot happen. So she insisted, give me a pregnancy test. And the pregnancy test came back positive. She went back and did four more pregnancy tests, ultrasound, still positive. And then she, 9 months later, she had a baby named Amanda. She named her Miracle Mandy. Because she was willing to go boldly before God with her request. And what God is telling you to do, listen, we got to pray audacious prayers. Those are bold prayers. You got to go boldly before his throne. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God wants you to go boldly before his throne. Lesson number one in prayer is you must consult God in everything. Don't let anything go by this week that you don't consult God about. Don't let anything pass that you don't go say, God, I need your direction. The Winans used to have a song. I love it. I was singing it the other day. It said, I need your direction to make the right selection. Lead me and I'll follow where you lead. Y'all know that? Lead me. Where do I go from here? Make my pathway clear. Lord, I need your direction to make the right selection. Lead me and I'll follow where you lead. That's got to be our prayer. Lead me, God. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. We must consult God in everything. And the second lesson is this. Call on God for great things. See, we consult God in everything. Lesson two is call on God for great things. What happened here is the Gibeonites, they tricked Israel. They tricked them because they did not consult God in everything. So one of these lessons was learned in failure, but the other one was learned in success. See, they failed on the first lesson. They didn't consult God in everything. And because they didn't consult God in everything, now they had to make a treaty with the Gibeonites. And so these Gibeonite people, he said, listen, we blew it, but what we're going to do, we ain't going to harm y'all. We're going to make a treaty with y'all, but we're going to make y'all be our servants. So the Gibeonites said, cool, at least y'all ain't killing us. We'll be willing to serve y'all. So they made them the servants. So they agreed. Now they made a treaty, and it was a thing with them. Now they could not attack them. Not only did they not have to attack them, it was a vow to help defend them. But the rest of the Amorite kings, there were five other Amorite kings in that area who said, listen, these Israelites, man, they wiped out Ai, they wiped out Jericho. Now the Gibeonites are on their side, and the Gibeonites are mighty warriors. So one of the kings said, I need all the rest of y'all to come up. We need to make a united front against these people, and let's go wipe out Gibeon. So the Gibeonites were facing, listen, they were scared to death because there were five kings that were coming to attack them. And what do? They were crafty. They were deceitful. They made a treaty with Israel and said, listen, y'all made a treaty with us. We need your help now. Because these five Amorite kings are coming to attack us, and we need your help. And thank God Joshua was a man of his word. He said, we got to keep our word. We got to go and defend them. So Joshua and the children of Israel got down to help defend the Gibeonites and fight against all of these Amorite kings, these five Amorite nations that were coming. And Joshua chapter 10, if you look in Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to look at verse 12. It says, on the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky, and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Listen, if you look at the message, the message, not translation, but the message paraphrase, it says right here where it says, when the Lord answered such a prayer, it said, when the Lord responded to the command of a human. And I want you to listen, he doesn't follow our commands, but what he was saying is, he hears your cry. He hears your cry. So it says, there's never been a day. What happened? What they were fighting. They were, Israel was beating this army. And not only were they beating the army, God brought a hailstorm. He brought hail down to wipe out. That must have been some big, big blocks of ice. And a hailstorm came, and they were defeating the army. But listen, they knew that God wanted them. What did God tell them originally? Wipe out everybody. And he said, listen, we need more time. If the sun goes down, they'll get away. So what did he do? He prayed a ridiculous prayer. He prayed something ridiculous. He said, God, don't let the sun go down. Hold the sun up in the sky for a little while so we can finish this off. Do you want to talk about bold? You want to talk about asking God for great things. He said, listen, God, I want you to do something that has never been done before. And what God is telling you to do today, go to God for great things. Go to him for great things. I was reading a story of a guy who was a pastor who had left where he was, and he went to go plant a church in some remote area in the country. And he planted this church, and to kind of supplement his income, he had a little workshop that he would work and fix things. He was kind of like a Mr. Fix-It. And he was short. You know, if you're planting a church, he didn't have a lot of money. It was one particular month that he and his wife did not have enough food. They did not have enough money for food. They needed milk, eggs, and bread. They didn't have it. So he said, listen, usually what he would go out and do was try to maybe get some odd jobs or do some stuff to get what he needed. But he said, this time he told the Lord, I'm not going to try to lift my hand. God, I'm going to get on my knees and say, God, I need you. This is what I need. We need milk, eggs, and bread. Can you provide it? He got up off of his knees, and a man came to his little workshop and said, listen, I got this tea kettle that needs to be fixed. Could you fix it? He gave him $10. It was enough for him to buy milk, eggs, and bread. And he was so excited that God, he was kind of proud of himself that he didn't get in God's way. He got on his knees to thank God for answering his prayer. And he said, the Lord told him, don't you wish you had asked for a side of beef? He's saying, essentially, y'all, I don't know if you're a few weeks back, Pastor Larry talked to us about aiming high. And sometimes what we do, we aim low. He said, God, I need eggs, bread, and milk. And God said, listen, if he provided that, why don't I just ask bigger? Why don't I just ask bigger? Joshua sat here and asked for something that was absolutely ridiculous. Keep the sun from going down. He asked for something that most people would look at him like he was crazy. When is the last time you asked God for something that made people look at you like you're crazy? When was the last time you asked for God for something so big that it doesn't even make natural sense? See, the reason why Joshua, listen, I love it. Joshua had experience with God. See, Joshua had just watched God bring down the walls of Jericho. Joshua had just watched God divide the Jordan River so that they can walk across. Joshua had just seen God provide them with bread from heaven in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua was, listen, he had seen God do all of this. So if he can do that, I know, God, you can hold the sun up in the sky. Because he's the same God, y'all. So this morning, sometimes we're not experiencing promised land living. It's because we are asking God just for the milk, the eggs, and the bread. And he said, why don't you just ask for the whole cow? Why don't you ask me for more? Since I own a cattle on 1,000 hills, it's not much for me to give you one of them. I own it all. I made it all. And if I made it all, listen, look at what I'm saying to you. He made it all, and he said, listen, I'm his child, and my inheritance is the same as Jesus. So listen, I know as a father, when my son asks me for stuff, I try to do everything I can. When my daughter asks me for stuff, I try to do everything I can to make it happen. How much more is our Heavenly Father? When we ask, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we ask, then we've got it. So why are we praying so small? I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. Because listen, when you listen to my prayers sometimes, they are pitiful. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us safe through the night and keeping us, Lord. Give me a safe ride to work. Let us get the ride. I'm going to give you my prayer this morning. Let us get to church safely, Lord God. Keep us from harm and danger, Lord. Help the children learn lesson in their Sunday school class. Lord God, I pray that you'll give us a good sermon this morning and give us traveling mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all you want? How about a great harvest of souls? God, we pray that this morning, God, as we come, that you will stand in my body, speak with my mouth, so that somebody come to know you in the pardoning of their sins. Lord, transform lives. Lord, release somebody from addiction today. God, do something like you did for Joshua, something that does not make natural sense. Because, Lord, listen, I'm praying according to your word. See, Joshua knew that God, it was God's will for him to wipe out everybody. And he said, if the sun goes down, some of them are going to escape. So, Lord, what I need you to do is hold the sun up in the sky, since you were the one who hung it up there in the first place. My God. You hung it up. You spoke it up there. You could keep it up there for a little while. He's that God, y'all. What do you need God to do big? What do you need him to do big? He said in his word, you have not because you ask not. He invites us in his word to ask him anything. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Now, careful now. You can pray for anything when anything that is in line with this truth. Amen? See, when I can pray for anything. See, if you're out there, Lord, pray, please give me a new wife. No. That's not in line with the truth. That prayer is inaccurate. Amen? But if I pray for anything, if I'm praying, if I'm seeking God for anything in line with his will, God said, I can do it, even if it seems too big. And you know what I'd like for us to do? Why don't we just humor God for a week? Try to get ourselves in the habit of, just God, this week I'm going to ask you for stupid stuff. I mean, stuff that's crazy big. Stuff that just seems like, Lord, it just doesn't make natural sense. I haven't asked. Sometimes, you know, it's almost like we don't want to bother God. God, I don't want to bother you with that. That's impossible. Sort of like the man who's just stopped praying. She's wife going through menopause. Now, Lord, I'm not going to pray for that. I'm not going to pray for that because listen, Lord, you know, that's impossible. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to confess this real quick. See, the Lord put this on my heart. I believe the Lord put this on my heart. And I'm going to share it with y'all. I shared it with some of you, but I'm going to share it with some of you. I believe the Lord put on my heart. Y'all know we're right here. God bless this property that we're in. But long time ago, that house that's sitting right there on that corner, I feel, Lord, man, I just felt the Lord put that on my heart. Okay? Can I share this with you? So we began to pray, Lord, if it's your will, make a way for us, this house. I mean, somebody's living in it. Somebody's living in the house. Lord, make a way that we can get that house on the corner to be able to extend this property. I don't know what you want to do with it, Lord. If you want to put a center for battered women, if you want to put a youth house, I don't know what you want to do with it. But, Lord, I believe if you want to give it to us, you can give it to us. So I began to pray on that thing. And I think some other folks began to pray on it, too. And so all of a sudden, one day we came up and there was a moving truck out there. People are moving out of the house. So I said, I'm trying to call. I'm getting real estate agent. Who's the person? Whose house is it? So we find. She said, yes, it's for sale. Then she gave us, she wanted to know, did we want to buy it? And she told us what she wanted to sell it for. And it's like, oh, no, we're not interested because that's just outrageous. So we said, okay, we'll forget about it. So what I do, I stopped praying on it. She put a for sale sign out front. Y'all saw the for sale sign out front. I stopped praying on the house because she said it was for sale. I'm putting it on the market, putting it with an agent. I put it out there. So I stopped praying. Then a little while later, the for sale sign went down, so I figured the house was sold. Come to find out, she took it off the market. Now it's not for sale. The house didn't sell, and she don't know what she want to do with it. So the lesson, listen, I said I believe the Lord had put that on my heart. I'm not perfect. I am human. I might be wrong. But the lesson is, if God put it on my heart, Dwayne, don't stop praying on it. If he put it on your heart, see, listen, because listen, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. We don't have the money to buy the house, but God, you got the money to buy the house. So if it's something that you would have for us to have, you can make a way for it to happen. So you just keep on going before me. That's what he said. You keep knocking. You don't stop knocking. You don't stop seeking. And then you keep on until God says, finally, no. Or yes. So the lesson was to me is, listen, don't ever stop going before him with big, crazy stuff. Church, you know what? I believe that if we as a church begin to be like Joshua, pray audacious, ridiculous, crazy prayers in the will of God, we'll begin to see God do stuff that great and mighty things that our mind could never conceive. I believe that in this church. I believe that in your house. Some of you might have a spouse this morning who's an unbelieving spouse. You might have children who are non-believing children who are out there doing all kind of crazy stuff, living in ways that you're not agreeing with. But listen, no matter, there is nobody that is too far for God. If he can hang the sun up an extra time to let Joshua wipe out these people, he can save your wayward child. If he could do that, he could save your non-believing husband or your non-believing wife. Listen, you might say, listen, there's too much. You might be looking and say, my resources are low. I don't have the resources. I don't have the money to do what I need to do. You might feel like God is calling you into ministry, into some area. And you say, listen, God, I feel God, you're calling me into this, but I don't have the money to leave away from my job. I'm scared to leave from my job. Listen, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you're asking with the wrong motives. Say, God, listen, I need you to provide my needs. I need you to do supernatural stuff, not for selfish reasons, but for what? Your glory. So that he be glorified. When he hung that sun up in the sky, who got the glory? Wasn't Joshua and the children of Israel. Joshua didn't do, listen, they wiped them out. But can you imagine the word that spread around the rest of the country? These people, y'all better not fool with them. Y'all better not fool with them, because when they come around, stuff, crazy stuff start happening. I mean, walls start falling, water starts dividing, and people walking through on dry land. The day gets long. The sun stays up in the sky. Those people, somebody is with them. You better stay away. Listen, and guess what? That's what Brother Dave preached a while ago about the God of the hills and the valleys. The people thought, listen, we're going to fight them on a different plane because their God, listen, he only fights on one plane. Do you know our God is the God of the hills and valleys? And when we begin to see God do great and mighty things that our mind could never conceive, all it does is point glory to him and give us a platform to build the kingdom. God is calling you to pray audacious prayers this morning. What are the lessons? Number one, you got to consult God in everything. Don't let anything pass this week that you don't consult God about. I'm talking to myself. Consult God in everything. Because you got to beware. Because there is an enemy. You got to beware of the devil and his deceitful schemes. The devil will deceive you into thinking that you can handle it by yourself. It's a lie. And then when you consult him, you got to go boldly before him. You got to go expecting. You got to pray expecting for that to happen. Joshua, I would love to have met Joshua. Do you imagine what kind of faith that is? To go and say, God, I need you to hang the sun up in the sky. And he wasn't like he knew it was getting ready to happen. God, we're not finished. Can you hold the sun up there for me right quick? That's faith right there, y'all. I want that kind of bold faith. Just to go to God, just stupid. God, I need you to do this supernatural thing and come out ready, looking for him to do it. You can do that when you go in confidence on the strength of his word. So you go boldly. And then we gotta consult him in everything and then call on him for great things. As I get ready to close, what are the great things that you need God to do in your life this week? I challenge you. I encourage you. You know what I'm going to encourage you to do? I told you we have our connection card here. And I want our guests to fill out our connection card. But on the back, their prayer requests, place. I want us to write down, I want you to write down, what is that audacious prayer request? That bold, ridiculous request. That thing that seems so big that, God, I can't see it happen. That thing that you complain about, that thing that keeps you up at night, but you have not prayed and said, God, boldly gone before him and said, I need you to intervene here. Do the supernatural. What I want all of us, not just our guests, I want you to write down that crazy request. I want you to write down that crazy request. Write it down. If it's something that's private and you don't want to write it down, that's fine. But if it's something that you don't mind other people in the body praying for, if you want to write it down and not put your name on it, that's fine. But I want you to write down that crazy request this morning. If you don't mind putting your name, put your name. If you don't want to put your name, leave the name blank. Just write down that stupid request. This is what we're going to do. Sister Tanya, it leads up our prayer ministry. We want you to pray on that thing, but we're going to touch and agree with you this week. Listen, it's a mighty thing when the body of Christ comes together and prays. Remember I told you about that woman? She had church folks praying, little kids praying, praying for God to get glory. What we want to do this week, we're going to put down our request. Something that you may have prayed, but you prayed half-heartedly about. And say, God, I'm coming like Joshua for this thing that seems impossible, and I need to see you move in a supernatural way. I want you to take the time to put that down this morning. And as we pass that offering plate, I want you to fold that up. We're going to put it in there, and we're going to bathe that thing in prayer this week. If it's a job, if it's a person, if it's a habit, if it's an attitude, whatever it is that you've been battling and you have failed to go to God in prayer boldly about, we're going to ask him for great things. Great things. Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Amen? I'm going to give you a few moments to write down that request. Amen?
Don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you do.
God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I agree with what my brother Justin was just singing, Lord God. Whatever you're doing in this season, God, we want to be a part of it. We want to see you move in mighty ways, inexplicable ways. We thank you that you're the same God that hung that sun up in the sky longer for Joshua and the children of Israel. But thank you that we're thankful that you're the same God that brought down the walls of Jericho. We're thankful that you're the same God who divided the Red Sea. You're the same God who rose Lazarus from up out of the grave. And you're the same God who sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, was buried, and he rose again so that we might have everlasting life. We honor you, we praise you, we give you glory in this place. And we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that you command us and you invite us to come boldly before your throne with all of our requests. We thank you, Lord, that we have a high priest who is concerned about us. God, you are concerned about our needs. Lord, we thank you that you promised that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And so, God, we come. I don't know what is on these sheets of paper, but God, you knew the need before the need was uttered. And your word says that we have not because we ask not. Your word has commanded us to ask you persistently, to seek, to knock. And Lord, if we seek, we will find. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a God who answers prayer. And so, God, we come with these requests, with these audacious prayer requests. We come boldly in anticipation for you to get glory out of them. God, do a mighty work. If it's healing, we ask for healing. Deliverance, we ask for deliverance. For salvation, we ask for salvation. God, we pray that you will give provision where people are in need today. Lord God, we ask that you will build this church, that you will bring people into your kingdom, that you will do a work that we could not explain, that we could not do on our own. We love you now. And we thank you, Lord God. We come on the strength of your word. We thank you that you're a God who keeps your promise. Now, God, we ask as we bring our request to you that we'll have testimony of you doing something supernatural. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud him? I want to close with this. I want to close with this. It's a prayer I read from Sir Francis Drake. It's called Disturb Us, Lord. It says, disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we've arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. In our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Let that be our prayer, that God would disturb us today. That we don't get comfortable with what we have, that we don't ask God for too little, but that we ask for greater. Amen? So that we can walk in the abundance that God has for us. Amen? Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. And if we can continue singing that, if you have not finished filling out your cards. Before we do that, let's stand. I'm going to give someone an opportunity. I'm moving too fast. Let's stand together. I know I prayed, but I want to give somebody opportunity this morning to come to know this God who answers audacious prayers. He's a God. He wants to answer your prayer. He hears the cries of his children. And you can become his child today by simply admitting that you are imperfect. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. And he wants you. He made you to love you. But our sin has separated us from God. It's just plain and simple. All of us are sinners, separated from God. And while I'm existing separated from God, guess what? He can't hear my prayer. It is not until I deal with that sin in my life that God has, that he can even hear my cry. So if you want him to have access to him so that he can answer your prayer, the first thing that we must do is get right with God. And what you got to do is admit that you're a sinner separated from God. To sin just simply means to fall short of his standard, which is perfection. Then second, you must believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sins. That was necessary because all of our sin must be paid for in blood. It had to be perfect blood. The only perfect one is God. So God became man, Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. He shed his blood. They put him in a grave so that he could pay for your sin. But just like we sung this morning, the grave couldn't hold him. In 3 days, he rose. And if you put your faith and trust in what Christ has done, he said, one day you will rise too. If you're here, if you're head bowed and eyes closed, if you've never come to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be certain where you stand with God today, all you got to do, admit that I'm a sinner separated from God. Believe that he sent his son Jesus to pay for my sins. That he lived, that he died, that he buried and rose again. And then make the choice to have him to be Lord of your life, to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and make you who he wants you to be. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, this is you and God, you and God. If you'd like to make that decision today, could you just slip up your hand right now? I'm going to have someone connect with you. You want to make that decision to accept Christ as Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sin, could you slip up your hand right where you are? Is there one who will make that decision today? Is there one who will make that decision today? Dear God, I pray that if there's somebody here, Lord God, who's never come to know you, that, Lord, you'll continue to water a seed, that a seed be planted right now, that they make a decision to come to you as Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may have your seat.
Don't do it.
If you have not finished filling out your connection card, I want to give you opportunity to do that now.